Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hey, rock stars. Welcome back to Mission Accepted Podcast. Kind of like the place to be when you want to learn about all of the fun that you can have being an entrepreneur. Jumping off the cliff. It's all uphill. You are a multifaceted rock star group of listeners, and you're like, uh-oh, why is she calling us that today? Because I call you something different. But you're probably starting to pick up that when I use that incredible word for you, it's really describing the guest as well, because Jen's here. I mean, she is an incredible woman that helps people. She's a powerful coach. She really doubles down on the mindset side of it. But the reason why I said you're such a diverse and you're open and you're multifaceted is because ever since I've met this woman, we have had different conversations based on projects that I'm doing, based on things that she's doing. And she's really done it all. And of course, organically, one thing goes to the other, but she's probably one of the most diverse people that I know, yet she's been really grounded. I mean, and she gets it done. So, you know, I can tell you, and when I say get it done, doesn't mean it gets done in one day, because when she decided to go back to school, it took her 7 years to get where she wanted to go, because she wanted to, like, you know, throw a couple of children in the mix, you know, like 4 of them, decided to become, you know, a reverend. She comes from a long lineage of teaching. She wants to work with people. They just did their first service last year at the church that was built. I mean, she's got stuff going on. But when you meet her, you wouldn't know that. She's very composed, has it going on. So I'm like, you got to come teach us some mindset tips, because you clearly have a lot going on in there, but you're able to handle it. So Jen, such a pleasure. It was a pleasure to be on your, she's a podcaster, has a podcast for the environment. So I was able to pop on there and talk about the power. Oh my gosh. Okay. So there you go. Let's see if we're all back. Okay. Okay, so that's what happens when you have a ring. And things happen sometimes, technology. So I'm going to fix my technology while we're going to hear Jen talk about coming to the show. So welcome, hey, Jen. And by the way, we don't edit even when I bleep. We don't edit even when I bleep. So yes, they're going to see this. Yes, everyone's going to hear this clunk on my desk, but that's how it goes. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here. And I love that you don't edit. It's good to be real.
Yeah, right? As I'm putting this back together here. Okay. So let's hope that doesn't happen again. All right. I was just saying, I should really glue this. Okay. I'm going to put it in the safe one. So, you know, I'm talking about mindset. I mean, we're talking about all the things that I've known you to do and known you to be. So, I mean, share with us a little bit about kind of how you got here, but what was going on for you? Like, as a mindset coach or someone who's come to be able to do that for others, what made you decide to go from, you know, teaching and schooling and helping others and, you know, deciding to be a reverend in there? Like, kind of give us some background, because I don't know about you, but have we not heard over and over and over again, like, just do one thing, just focus on one thing and you'll have so much success. You might die of boredom, but, you know, I always say it's better to die tired than bored. So tell us about that.
I like that. Yeah. I think that was the key word, is bored. I started out very young wanting to go to theater school. That was my big dream. I was in theater when I was younger. We moved across the country when I was small, and we were very poor and single mom who ended up putting herself through nursing school. And we moved to British Columbia when I was, I don't know, 13 or something. Finally borrowed money to get a car, because you couldn't live here without a car in those days. And And my whole dream was to do theater. I wanted to do that. I used to put on plays in the front yard when I was little for all the neighborhood kids. But that wasn't a real job. That wasn't an option. And no one in my family had money to send me to school. So I ended up saying, well, what should I do? And my mother was a nurse. My grandmother had gone back to school at 50 and become a licensed practical nurse and worked until mandatory retirement at 65. So I thought, well, I'll go into healthcare, but I am not going to be a nurse because I am not touching all that yucky stuff. So I went in, I took training at Vancouver Community College in something called nursing, well, it was called health unit coordinator or nursing unit clerk at the time, which is the person who organizes everybody else. And because I was a bit, and maybe still am a bit bossy, that suited me fine. And it was to organize the doctors and the nurses. So if the doctor wrote something, you had to decipher what they wrote and translate it so that the drugs came from the pharmacy and the nurses knew what to give and the food came properly and all that stuff. So I did that and that was fun. I worked in every single area of the hospital that I worked at for about 5 years. And then I thought, is this it? There's no head unit clerk. There's no advancement in this job. It was a union job. It was good benefits, all that stuff. But what could I do? And one day an instructor came by and I said, how do I do what you do? And she said, you have to go get your training to teach adults in the college system. So I went back to school and, meanwhile, I was having kids and doing
Kids
other
and
stuff.
dogs and husbands and
And so got the training and started out taking over from a nurse who was teaching medical terminology out in University of Fraser Valley in Abbotsford. And so I was very pregnant with my second child, and I had, terrified, walked into a classroom full of adults to teach them, Latin and Greek root words. Anyway, I loved it, and it went from there. I ended up at three different universities, and really enjoyed helping students launch into what they were going to do next. And one of the things that I was teaching by the end was communications. And they gave me about 30 hours to teach 20 somethings how to communicate. And some of
Ooh.
them, I know, and some of them had not even the basics anymore. And I did notice over the 25 years of teaching that the trajectory, that it was getting worse. And so I thought, I need to do something about communication. And that's when I started a blog. And I thought blogs were for moms that were talking about their kids back in 2010, 2011, right? I'm like, I don't want to do that. And then I discovered Pat Flynn and Cliff Ravenscraft. And I had started a blog called Communication Diva, which was tongue in cheek. And then I learned about the world of podcasting. And I thought, wait a minute, I like to talk. This is it. So I started a podcast in 2011, which was pretty early, and there weren't very many women in it. And joined a mastermind group, and I did that for 10 years and taught. Well, I rebranded, I think, in 2015 because I was noticing that communication was great, but I was getting more people with career questions. So then I rebranded to Careers by Jen. And have been doing that ever since. But and then in the midst of all that, took some coaching training and then felt really called while I was working on hospice palliative care, felt really called not to be doing the paperwork anymore. I thought I'd rather be at the bedside, finding out what this person, what they're thinking, what they're feeling, what they're needing, and being with them in a non-medical way. So went to the theological school in Vancouver, and like I said, it took me because I didn't have an undergrad, so it took me 7 years to do the course, the master's level, so a master's degree, and the master's degree was actually in leadership. So
Wow. So what I'm hearing and is every time that you had that feeling or that yearning or that needing for something different, you really just figured out what you had to do
and then went and did it. I mean, I have to ask because there's, you know, the world of entrepreneurship has definitely exploded and expanded, and there's no longer, I'm going to have my life after my kids leave. I'm going to do it while my kids are here, and it's okay. And it's, you know, there's this, you know, blend of what's going on for people in relationship of career and business and choice and hobby and volunteerism, right? All of that. So as a mom of four, you've got four children while you're going through this process and going back to school. What was that like? Like how, where did you get your support from? What was that dynamic like? Were you exhausted all the time? How did you manage? I mean, I can imagine sitting here, and I only have two, right? And I can, and I know what that juggle was like, because there was 10 years, you know, in between. One wanted to go shopping at the mall and one wanted to go to Maplewood Farm, right? And I'm like, ah, right. And neither was going to be happy. Someone every day was going to be ticked off because it was like one or the other. My daughter's like, ducks again, you know? And my son's like, oh, Aritzia again. He's six, right? It's like, so how did you manage? How did you manage with having this inspirational person inside?
So there was a marriage breakup in there, and there was a remarriage, like a marriage to someone else. And so my kids are the oldest ones, and then my current husband brought his two little ones, and so that's where the four kids came from. So there were other parental units, as they're called. A mom and a stepdad, and we did that together. So my kids were off to university when the little ones came and moved in. And so, but because there were four of us able to co-parent and do it well and amicably, then there were times when we didn't have kids, so it was a little bit easier. But it does take a lot of effort, and it was always off the side of my desk, and it was just for fun while I was doing all these other things. Until I thought, you know, I want to try this. I just have always said, well, how can I do this? How can I figure this out? So a couple of years I thought, let's put the podcast on hold. Let's try YouTube. It's the latest thing. How do I do that? I have no idea. Let's get a camera. Let's figure it out. Let's take a class. And then now I'm going back to YouTube and the podcast, which is a little much.
But when you say that, it's like, you know, I mean, what I want people to hear is I put it on pause. Because I was sharing with you earlier that I talked to a lot of podcasters and they put it on pause for certain reasons, or people that put things on pause. And I think that that's a really important distinction, particularly for someone who's entrepreneurial minded. Because, and look at, I'm like that, you know, you think you can handle it all and take it all. And sometimes people are like, how do you do that? I don't know how you do everything. Well, you don't do everything. I didn't work on this project today, but I did a lot on the Ireland project today. Well, it's St. Patrick's Day, who wouldn't? But you know, like those kind of things, like it's a variable, but it is okay. I guess what I want to tell people, it's okay. Jen put her podcast on hold. You know, she's grooving in, you know, in the ministry and her coaching. And now she's coming back to it. So as an entrepreneur, there can be creative space. It was one of the biggest aha moments, Jen, last year in November. I went to go see Cheryl Strayed. I don't know if you know the author who wrote the book Wild. And of course, I'm doing this walk across Ireland. And you know, people are like, you got to do a book and you got to do a documentary. And I'm like, my brain was flooding. I'm like, I got to train for eight marathons. Don't talk to me about a documentary. But I heard her say, you know, one of the biggest pivotal points in her career was when Oprah read the book. And Reese Witherspoon did the movie, kind of a big deal. But she didn't write that for 5 years after. Like five, the movie came like 5 years after she wrote the book, and the book came after the walk. So I think sometimes people just don't realize that there can be breaths in between.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also have to, if you have the mindset that everything is figure outable, which is not, you know, I forget who said that first, but
But it's good. It's,
everything is figure outable, as long as it's true to who you are, like as long as it's true, you know, and I have been asked in the past, well, do you want to do this thing? And I have to really check in and say, am I doing it for ego? Or am I doing it because I'm called to do it? You can use whatever language you want. Is this something that my whole being wants to do, and why? And then, and so if I have that checking in with myself first, then I can say, I could do it. And I could probably do it well, because I'm, you know, got that perfectionist thing in me. I could probably do it well, but should I be doing it?
Right.
Should I be the one doing it? Will the people be better served by somebody else who has a passion for it? If I'm just doing it because, oh, sure, I could do that and it'll look good on my resume, right? So it's that kind of thing that I've always, I think, checked in with myself about. And the interesting thing is sometimes people recognize your gifts before you do. You know,
that's the truth.
Yeah. And so if you hear it enough, you might want to pay attention to it and say, you know, the other thing about mindset that I wanted to talk about is growth mindset. Not everybody has it. You can acquire it. You can work on it. But not everybody has that mindset of, where am I going to go next? What is my next goal? What would I like to be doing? And there's a really good book that I read, I don't even know how long ago, called Will It Fly? By one of my mentors, Pat Flynn. And he had an exercise in this book. And I remember being over at Rivendell Retreat Center on Bowen Island, having a little quiet retreat for myself for a few days. And I had post-it notes and I had this exercise. And the exercise it's called the airport exercise. And you ask yourself, if you were in an airport 5 years from today, and you ran into an old friend that you hadn't seen in a long time, what would you like to tell that friend? If you had to go have a glass of wine in the airport, you know, restaurant, what would you like to tell that friend about your health, about your life, about your career, about your relationships, about your money? What would you like to tell them? And then you write all that out, and then you reverse engineer it. So how can I be fit? If that's one of your goals, how can I, you know, have great relationships, et cetera, et cetera. And that exercise was quite pivotal for me, especially around fitness and health. And yeah. And so it's, you have some control if you take it.
That's it's interesting that you say that. Thank you for the reminder. I had a woman who was seeing a coach and she's like, I think you should talk to him. And we went through that exercise and I actually audioed that the answers. It was also a pivotal moment for me. And he was like, pretend you see me in the airport 5 years from now. Right. And what does that look like? And what do you say to me? I think that it really brings it home. And when you talk about reverse engineer, sweetie, you're talking about you're ringing my bell. Explain to people a little bit your definition of reverse engineering and how does one, okay, we can say what we want in 5 years. You're clearly gifted at this. I've had a little practice, you know, we can say it, but how do you like claim it and bring it into your life? Like, how do you, when you say reverse engineer, how do you within your mindset make that 5-year plan come to fruition? Like, what does it take inside up here?
I think it takes thought. It takes visualizing yourself in that role or whatever it is in that space, in that situation, and feeling it. And how does that sit? And then if you're going to go forward with it, what do you have to do to get there? So what are the things you need to do? And often people get paralyzed because they don't break it down into small enough chunks. They get paralyzed because, oh, well, I could never do that. And that negative self-talk is part of what gets in the way of growth mindset. I always say to my clients and podcasts and everywhere, I say, don't believe everything you think. Because our brains are trying to keep us safe and they're trying to keep us in the familiar lane. And the minute you step out and stretch and risk a little bit and try and step out of that, it's like, oh, something might be happening. So the problem with that is that if you're telling yourself you can't do it, then you won't be able to do it. So it's pay attention to your language. What are you saying to yourself? And instead of saying, well, I could never do that, maybe you could say, I can't do that yet. which changes that, right? So what will it take for me to be able to do that? When I started YouTube, I had no idea how to do YouTube. I had a camera, a phone, right? But I had no idea what it took to even work the system. I'd watched YouTube videos, but I'd never uploaded anything. I didn't know anything about thumbnails. I didn't know anything about the algorithm. And so how do you, you know, step by step by step, go back far enough to learn what you need to learn and learn from people who've been there before you, who've done it well?
Well, isn't that, I think, one of the reasons why a lot of people, yourself, myself, and many people that have an expert in an area or they're gifted in an area have really felt the calling as the world of entrepreneurship has come up. It's like people go, my gosh, there's so many coaches out there. And I'm like, well, because there's so many people that really want to help people. Because when you go through something or you fight that battle or you get to that next level in your business or you what, and then people are asking you, what do you do? How do you do it? Then, you know, most people feel very servant-leaded, you know, in a servant leadership kind of way to share that information. And so there is so many people that can really support and get you going. And, you know, for me, a lot of times it's been people like, how are you doing? I'm like, I don't know, me and Brené Brown, we had a conversation this morning. I mean, you listen to podcasts, these are all forms of, you know, mental input. I just don't think there's anyone or there isn't a feeling knowing you've got someone on your team, which is why, you know, I love the idea of an actual coach, because sometimes it's not the information on how to do your YouTube. It's, I don't know how to balance my life, or I've come up against something, or why, you know, or people get tested. Oh, lordy, 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 lordy. Right. And what do people do? What are one of the things that you would recommend people do when they start to get tested? Cause you're not in your head and you know what I'm talking about. When you decide to make a different change or go to the next level or move away from something, you can be tested, right?
Yeah, I have a coach and I think it's really, you know, important to do that. I haven't had one consistently for years, but I off and on have gotten a coach when I needed some help getting to a certain level, because I realize, you know, that the same brain that's stuck is not going to be able to get myself unstuck without some external help and some perspective, right? So I see this and other people might see something far more complex, or see something that I just cannot see. And so when I'm coaching a client, sometimes it feels like it's so obvious to me what they could do. But I have to let them come to that conclusion for it to feel authentic for them. And most of the time they will, and sometimes they don't. But it's how can I support you? How can I help you? How can I cheerlead what you're doing and encourage you so that you can step into your success? And that makes me the happiest out of all the work I do, in all the work that I do. When students would graduate, you know, I'd be bawling my eyes out because they did it. They'd be colleagues. They wouldn't be my students anymore. In the church, when I invite somebody who's terrified to stand up and read or speak, it's like, yes, they can do it. That just gets me so excited. And so the same with coaching. When I see someone reach their goal.
So being uncomfortable is part of it, right? Mm-hmm. So being uncomfortable. So, you know, what you're sharing is about when you're uncomfortable, you go to your resources. When they're uncomfortable, they go to you. You know, just keep going type of thing. Just keep going. And I think that once you start to push yourself, I always say the biggest paycheck comes from the highest level of being uncomfortable. So when you've gone through that a couple of times and you start to recognize it, that's kind of what it is. That's kind of what it is. Is there anything else around mindset? I mean, you've had a variable career. You work with people. Honestly, just to be in the clergy and what that must take to be able to, you know, have that higher level of acceptance and come from that place. Is there, you know, things that you do in your life that you can share, or places that you get your reserve from, or how you hold that space for people, right?
Yeah, I think if you're in the business of helping others, you have to look after yourself. Because if your cup is empty, it's really hard to help others. And so we have a practice every morning. We meditate, my husband and I sit for 20 minutes and meditate together, and you know, take that time just to be in the fresh air, to be outside, to breathe in, to have some centering time. I garden mm-hmm. when it's nice out, mm-hmm. which it is today. And so there are those things that help me to stay grounded, because when I don't, then the mind starts and it's, oh, what do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? Why do you think you can do this? You're too old. You're too, you know, fill mm-hmm. in the blank. I had a guy on TikTok.
Yeah, fill in the blank. Yeah.
I had a guy on TikTok, because of course I tried TikTok, right?
Yeah.
And I had a guy on TikTok who said, Grandma, stop making TikTok videos. And I thought, wait a minute. So I said, I'm very proud to be a grandma. P.S. I am delighted that I am a grandma. And why should I stop making TikTok videos? Anyway, we had this little back and forth. In the end, he apologized. Which not all people who say nasty things on social media do, right? But I think I made him feel a little bit bad. And I thought, tell me more. Why should
I? Tell me more.
What if you don't want to watch me?
Yeah, that's right. I'm pretty sure you have choices. Yes. And one of them would be to not watch my videos. You know what I mean?
So funny. So funny. Anyway, but I actually liked that exchange, because he was actually quite sweet in the end. Be careful who you're, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Don't let the word grandma.
I love it.
I mean, I think that's it too, right? We have these labels that we, you know, that we put on ourselves, or, oh, that person is this, or that person's that. And then we attach, like he attaches what he thinks a grandma should be, or you know, you attach what you think someone this age should be. Or I was talking to a woman this morning and, you know, she's like, you know, people our age, they think it's all over by now and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, how old are you? She's like 45. And I'm like, I'm 58. I don't think like that.
Yeah.
Right. She's like, oh my gosh. So I think it's what we think, like mm-hmm. what we think that age that somehow we project onto other people. That doesn't help either. Okay. I got to ask, as we're wrapping up here. So you've decided, you've gone from teaching and working in the hospital and you coach people and you mindset and you're a mom and you're a grandma and you're a stepmom and you're all those kind of things. And then where did the clergy fall in? Is it from you were sharing, you know, your Irish ancestry of your, like, where does where did the calling come in?
Well, I walked into a church at 18 by myself, which is really unusual. And I had met the minister there on stage. We had been in a theater group because my first passion was being on stage. And I had met him in a local community play. And I had actually gone to school with his daughter. And so he and his wife were part of this theater group. And I said, well, I'm going to go see what you do for a day job one day. And I walked in and never left. And having been someone who didn't have roots, who moved all across the country my whole growing up years, I suddenly found a whole bunch of grandparents. And I found a whole bunch of aunties and uncles and people to connect with. And so I stayed, you know, in different ones around the Lower Mainland, but I stayed in the church, and I would volunteer and I would speak and I would teach Sunday school, and my kids were baptized and raised in the church. And people started to say, when are you going to go to school? When are you going to do this? And I was, like I said, sitting in hospice palliative care working, and every once in a while, someone would say, would you come do a prayer? Okay. So off I would go and be at somebody's dying bedside, which was the most sacred place to be. You know, people used to say, how could you work there? Isn't it so awful? And I'd say, no, out of the whole hospital, and I worked in every single unit of that hospital, there's more love on palliative care than anywhere else, because there's no time left. Everybody drops everything and they stop everything that's unimportant, and they come and they sit and they're with people. And I said, there is more. I've seen weddings there. I've seen, you know, you name it. And I said, I would like to do this, but do it in a different way, not just do the paperwork. Right. Mm-hmm, so that was the real final straw. And I started going to school, and I would take one course at a time. And finally they said, Jen, you've taken all the courses you're allowed to take until you commit to a degree. What's it going to be? Okay.
So. Okay. Awesome. I just really wanted to know that story and hear your story. And I think that there's a lot of gold in that story. Okay. Look, so, you help people, I'm like, what's your company? You're like, Careers by Jen. And I'm like, of course it is. So if people want to reach out to you, how can they do that? And then I have one final last question for you, girl.
Okay. Careers by Jen with two N's anywhere. So Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, my website, careersbyjen.com, my YouTube channel, which I'm trying to grow right now. So if you want to help me out, come subscribe. Anywhere you find Careers by Jen.
Awesome. Well, great. Love to see the consistency in your marketing from someone who's a marketing person. Okay. So I don't probably need to tell you because you get to listen to incredible music probably every Sunday. Mm-hmm. But look, as you know, myself and my girlfriend, Corrine, we're walking 8.5 marathons in 8 days across Ireland. And look at my audience already knows they did it to her. You go there. It's St. Patrick's Day. And you may not be listening to St. Patrick's Day, but you need to go donate anyways, because we're helping out the musical community globally and they need it. And so do you. And when I mean so do you, I believe that we all need music. I believe that music is such a powerful vibration, right? We talk about spirit being a vibration. We talk about love being a vibration. And I think music is a beautiful vibration. I don't think it, I know it. Mm-hmm. And, it's the thing that brings people together. I think about that song, We Are the World. Like I always say, music doesn't care, but music heals, right? Music doesn't care. Like you might love country and I might love rap. But we don't not like each other because of that. There's just really no division in the world of music. So here's my question for you. You're on your way to a desert island and it sounds like you might want to go, you're on your way for a retreat you ain't coming back from and you're taking one suitcase. And in that suitcase, you have room for one album. This is the one that you couldn't not imagine listening to till the rest of your days. Yeah, she just went, ooh. So what album are you taking with you, my friend?
That is really difficult.
I understand. See, that's why music is so important, right?
I don't even know which album to choose, but I'm a heavy metal girl.
All right. Okay, who else didn't see that one coming? Yeah, the girl at 18 who walks into church and never leaves, she's like, bring on some Leonard Skinner.
Bring on some Rush, some Metallica. Some...
yeah, Rush, 2112, first Rush concert I ever went to. Okay, it's going to be one album.
Okay.
What are you going to take?
I'll pick, see, I don't even know names of albums. I just know songs that I like because
okay, so
I would say anything from Rush.
Anything from Rush. Okay.
Yeah, keep it in Canada.
Yeah, right? Incredible Canadians. And honestly, they've been together this whole time and Getty has a voice like no other. I mean, really powerful, powerful, and really intelligent in, musicians. So Getty Lee. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Mission Accepted. You guys, as always, have been incredible. You ask questions, you share, you tell us what you want to hear. Thank you so much for everyone that is subscribing. We really have hit a global impact. If you want to be where Jen's sitting, you know what to do. This is super easy. Just like I said, Jen's is super easy. It's deb@devdroman.com. Our podcast is streamed on 11 TV stations. It is global and you get to have such an incredible reach because what we do is so international now. So Jen, thank you so much for coming on the show. We will see you guys again in just a few days because we do this very often. We do this often. Thanks, Jen. And you guys just stay groovy till we talk again. Bye for now.